Blog Talk Radio.
Elaborate on that. David said the Lord
is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I'm going to stop there. Because we got people that died in Vietnam and Korea. We had people that was murdered in Vietnam. Some of your sons and daughters and some of your kin people died trying to hold this country up. And we got a Congress. We got a Republican Party will not address the killing of these little babies. I want to say this tonight. The wages of sin is death, and gift of God eternal life. Something happening in our world. Something happening in Dallas. Something happening in Chicago. Something happening around the world. When you let children starve, when you don't care enough to feed the hungry children, when you are about your own business, God says, don't mess with me. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. God's going to send a storm and a flood that you never see. Let me say it again. If man to man, woman to woman, God to God, if man do not change his way, we are doomed. We are doomed. His little children that was murdered by a sick, demonic man that was demonic by spirit. Now, some of you don't want to say that, but I want to tell you, this morning, as we're getting ready to go into the holiday, what the holiday about? It's about people died for you to be able to go to the store and not be killed. You'd be able to go to church and not get shot. Be able to go to the Creator and not get shot. That's why the people died fighting justice in this country. No peace, no justice. No justice, no peace. What I'm saying to you this morning, those that read the Bible, one lady called me this morning and said she's so confused. I told her, just hold on. God is going to turn this thing around. Man don't want to do it because they into money. Republican Party is getting big money from the Rifle Association. It's big money being spent. And this money, the blood of the children is lie at the foot of Washington, D.C. It lies at the foot of the Republican and Democrat. The reason it lies at the Republican, because they won't do nothing. The reason it lies at the feet of the Democrat, they won't stand up and fight. The cowards. I don't care what you say. I don't care how they debate it. Somebody got to step up and say, enough is enough. These assault rifles don't need to be out. These assault rifles don't need to be in the community. These rifles are over in Vietnam and Korea, and that's what Putin fights, some kind of rifles. How can you can buy them, you 18, you buy them, you 16, and it's all right? That's what we're saying. I'm going to, this morning, I'm praying for you. I know some of you upset. Every mother, every father, every cousin, prayer, you said it here, prayer changes things. We have to look at where we're going as a race of people. We have to look and see where we're going as human beings. God made one race, the human race. Anything else is a lie. I wish I had somebody. But as I pray tonight, and as I pray for you this morning, you messed up and you crossed up. The witches and the warlocks want to take over the country. If you don't watch, you see your children that don't want to go to school. This boy didn't go to school. How come there's nobody that's shooting off his feet? And he on the line talking about he want to kill somebody. What's wrong with our news media? What's wrong with people seeing a red flag that he went and killed those people up in New York and Buffalo because he hated black folks? He hated people of color. Somebody had to know. Killed, shot his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And his grandmother didn't know what was going on. In your house, you don't know who bringing guns, who bringing stuff in your house. One boy got shot 13, jumped out of the car and ran, two pistols in the truck. When he turned, well, he shot him. Now, whose fault is that? The police job is to serve and protect. Where was the mama at a 13-year-old kid out at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning jacking people's cars, putting pistols on people? We can do better. We can, pastors of these churches, we can do better. Rabbis, we can do better. Imams, we can do better. And I want to say that you that in sorority, Mason, Eastern Star, you can do better. Stop waiting on somebody else to do it, and you do what you can do. Because the next child might be your child. I was prophesying to a lady yesterday, and I told her I thought she was deaf around me. She bucked her. I thought she was deaf because the people you're running with is dealing drugs and they're fighting. So they're going to shoot your car up. She's very upset. I just told her what the Spirit told me. I say. We're getting ready to honor our ancestors, those that are Native American, those American that were here in the honor of men. We're going to talk about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what happened down in Natchez, Mississippi with the murder is among us. The murder, our children have become murderers and thieves. Can't nobody stop it but God. Let me say it again. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. I want to reach in from God to God, man to man, woman to woman. What I'm saying to you, I come to motivate you this morning. I come to tell you all is well. I come to tell you this morning, God got you. You might not think so, but God got to cover Michael, Raphael, Bobbio, all the archangels and seraphims got you. If you just walk in the anointing or the, that means David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David knew what he was going. He knew what he had to contend with. Going into 2022 and 2023, we're going to see more things shut up. More schools going to be shut up. What you're saying is that I see it. Because the people at the top don't want to change. $250,000 Trump got. Every Republican got money from the gun lobby. So the blood of them children is on the back of Congress. And they play games with, we don't need to change. Ain't nobody follow suit against the Rifle Association. Ain't nobody said we're gonna boycott those that make the guns. Ain't nobody said we're gonna go and shut these gun factories down. In Houston, they had all kind of horses there. They the demons are protecting evil, and the devil always fights, but God always win. And I want you to pray this week, tomorrow, as you go back there, just pray. just a minute prayer, the hour of power. That God, you know, if something happens when the kids are calling and the police in the hallway, and you come quick, little baby. But they didn't move. So that's demonic. It's like a house on fire. And they said, come on and get down. You don't come. And the man said, I'm going to kill everybody. And he do it. I'm praying this morning. It's a sad day. But we will get over this because the Bible says there's no sorrow on the earth. Heaven cannot hear. We're getting ready to go into another month. Going into June 10th, we're going to talk about our ancestors and how they're looking at this and looking at those leaders, black, white, brown, that let those babies die. And those black people up in Buffalo, New York, they need to start a movement that said never, never, never again will this happen on my watch. God bless you this morning. I want you to get ready because God got your name this morning. God got your name. Whatever you're going through, I decree your healing. High blood, sugar, tumors, whatever it is. God is a healer this morning. As I pray for you, let me read the 23rd number of Psalm. I want to tell you, I asked last Sunday for them to send money to go over to Kenya. I asked three people to send $3. It tells me how sick black people is about helping black folks. I was on all the media. Now, I went on CNN, I went on ABC, I was on the internet, YouTube, and all the other media. And I was shocked. I had $3. That's how much you think about people of color, because you've been brainwashed. You've been hoodwinked. And you feel that you don't need to help nobody. And I've seen people sending money to Premier, black folks. What about Kenya? I'm asking every church. I'm asking you, members of different churches, pastors, get groups and send money or send water. Save the babies. The baby is dying of malnutrition. They're dying because our people haven't thought enough to tell the prayer, wait a minute, we need to send some money down to Kenya. We set up at church and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and people are dying. People are dying. That's what I want to say. Right now, I'm going to Detroit, Motor City. And Dr. King said Detroit was a city of growth. And even they try to cut Detroit off. But everything good come out of Detroit. When you name all the things, Dr. C.L. Franklin, people, the temptations, and more people, more pastors come out of Detroit, out of struggle. But I want to say the Lord is
my shepherd.
My shepherd. I shall not want. And I just want me to say that to you. Mary, God bless you this morning.
Yeah.
I want you to read the 23rd number of Psalms and give a short testimony after you read it, okay?
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leaded me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So you want me to get a testimony now?
Yeah, your testimony.
Okay. I thank God for waking me up this morning, and I thank God for clothing me in my right mind. And I thank God for everything that he's doing for me and what he's going to do for me. There's so much stuff is going on now. And I pray to God that all the shooting stop killing the kids. Because it was a guy up the street from me at Mary Grove College. He had a gun. And that was on the news. That's right up the street from me. And it's getting bad right now. So we all need to pray. It's prayers all over the world right now. We need to pray. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I thank you for that testimony, because here in Chicago last night, they had a shootout about a car. 4 or 5 people had those Uzi guns shooting. So we need prayer. We need prayer. We need people to don't let the devil ride. And the only way you don't let him ride is you pray.
Don't do it on me. Tell them don't do it on me. I really wanna be with you. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. Along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen. And her God was not there. He wanted Israel to understand that her God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, when he told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one queen, ever moving, and above that was another wheel. That was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were on guard. Tell them if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, one of these days, I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us. And considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. For a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. The prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. When you see a valley, suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, thou art obstructing mountains, surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then he led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a star-doing survey. In a star-doing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he missed something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man, son of man, I wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation, reminiscent of man's finiteness, man's humanity. Son of man, son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can these bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can these bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. Know that all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. And you made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Bit of light. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. But we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me.
So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou know it. Lord, thou know it. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou know it. I submit myself before you. Limited, finite, ignorant and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast the answer. And you know that one thing about God. When we go to him sincerely, when we've been overwhelmed by some problem that we aren't able to grapple with, put it at his feet. Ultimately, if we have faith, he'll give us the answer. He'll work it out for us. And Ezekiel declared that he didn't know. And it was in the hands of God to give the answer. Why, the Lord, after Ezekiel had surveyed and had gotten a full understanding of what the Babylonian problem was, he said to him, why, you go out
to give you the answer and preach to those dry bones. The Lord, it looks like a helpless thing. It looks like an unprofitable thing for me to go out and preach to dry bones. Some of the living soul that I preach to don't respond to me. And what could I expect from dry bones? But the Lord has been to go on out and preach anyhow. You know, God's ways, you know, are above man's ways. And you can't always understand why he orders you to do certain things. But if the Lord orders you to go on anyhow, why, you may not see it, but there is a way. You may not know what you're doing, but God has it worked out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. And I saw that man go out in that valley. In that valley of dry bones. Of dry bones. Oh, Lord. And stood there. And preached to those dry bones. The Lord had given him a text to preach on. Well, Lord, what can I preach to dry bones about? Oh, Lord. Lord, what kind of subject can you drop on to hear the word of the Lord? To hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm sure it must have been discouraging sometimes for him to stand there day and night and preach in that valley of dry bones, to preach in that valley of helplessness, and in that valley of lifelessness, in that valley of hopelessness. My Lord, to stand there and preach and not be able to see what the result would be. Oh, Lord, but he preached on anyhow. Oh, yes. And then one morning, the valley began to rumble. Yes, it did. One morning, the valley began to shake. And that was a mighty moving around. Oh, Lord. Then one morning, yeah, when he looked around to observe this rumbling, dear God, he saw those rabbits in motion. Yes, foot bones were stretching out, ankle bones, an ankle bone for moving on toward knee bone. Oh, yes. And knee bone was connecting with thigh bones. And thigh bone was moving on toward hip bones. And hip bone was moving to a backbone. Yes, they were. And backbone was joining on to shoulder bone. And shoulder bone was tying with neck bone. And neck bone was tying into head bone. Oh, the prophet kept on preaching it. Yes, he did. Kept on preaching it. Oh, you dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord. The Lord said, wait a minute now. I want you to preach on a new thing. Yeah. I want you, but just to wait a little while. And let me extract matter from the universe. Yeah. And let me order that matter to come together and form man's anatomy. Let flesh get on the bone. Let skin begin to cover those curtains. Oh, Lord. But Lord, all we have now are corpses lying around. Turn now and get to the wind. Tell the wind that God will believe in you. Lord, Lord. And pour breath into these bodies. Lord. Tell me word. And that's my solution tonight. That's my answer tonight to every problem that we have. That is to hear God's word. Hear God's word. It's all right. To go to the United Nations. It's all right. To put on an international fellowship. It's all right. To call in the power. To call in our business. It's all right. But I tell you what you had better do. Hear God's word. Hear God's word. His word. His word. His word. His word. His word. He's a risen deep water. His word. He's a lamp to your soul. Yes. His word.
Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But it's